We are living in special days. I hope to share with you a little more for your encouragement about what God is doing among Muslim peoples. But please now turn to our text, Isaiah, the 59th chapter. Now, this chapter is a bit long. I'm not going to read it all. But just like the rest of Isaiah, there is the bad news. And each cycle of Isaiah begins with the bad news, a deep expression of contemporary sins among God's people and nations around them, but it's always the good news afterwards. And that's what we hope to focus on this passage. But you see it from Isaiah 1 until the end. And I will begin to read from verse 15. And remember, brothers and sisters, this is not man's word, but the life-giving word of the living God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the one true living God who made us and made all things visible and invisible. Isaiah 59 at verse 15. Truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him, that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought him salvation, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, so will he repay wrath to his adversaries, repayment to his enemies. To the coastlands he will render repayment. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. And he will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives. And a Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth, or out of the mouth of your offspring, or out of the mouth of your children's offspring, says the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. God's word, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. And let's remember, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, that it is the will of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we receive his word not only in our heads, but also in our hearts and live it out in our lives. I am not going to go into detailed exposition of this passage, but I hope to encourage you to meditate on it more. There is a reason why I asked the pastor to read for us Revelation chapter 5. Now, the early church, brothers and sisters, did not have any problem with the book of Revelation. You know why? It's because of passages like this in Isaiah. The church started on the day of Pentecost. They did not have any of the writings of the New Testament, but they had the gospel. You go back and read in chapter 2 of Acts, and you will see how the Apostle Peter, this simple fisherman, learned the lesson from Jesus, who spent 40 days after his resurrection, before his ascension. This is very, very important. I wish evangelical people will understand this and take it to heart. 40 days with them, opening their minds to understand scriptures, telling them that the whole of scriptures at that time, from Genesis to Malachi, were about him. Bible begins with him. Even Adam himself was shaped perfectly in the image of God, and the model was the eternal Son of God who covenanted to come and join our humanity. The seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent. It's the same one. Well, here we have, as we see in the book of Revelation, the bad news. The climax in Isaiah comes to the point. This is among the people of God. Truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. We see it even today. Truth is lacking. And if you are straightforward, if you're honest, well, you miss out. You might even be plotted against. I have seen that in different parts of mission fields. Brothers and sisters, notice what we are told here. The Lord himself saw it displeased him. In fact, the Hebrew word translated in verse 16 as wondering, it's a word that really means he was shaken from inside. And you go to Revelation chapter 5, there was this scroll full of writings, a book of life, from cover to cover, and it was in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and he wanted somebody to claim it. And there was no one in heaven, on earth, even those who died under the earth. A strong angel went around with a loud voice challenging the founders of religion, the rulers, the kings, the queens, you name it. The philosophers, the theologians, the clergymen, you name it. There was no one. And John, one of the 24 elders, representing the whole church, Old Testament and New Testament, he was crying. The news was so bad, it was so desperate. Just like here we see it in Isaiah 59, from God's own point of view. But then one of the elders, one of the 24 elders, said to him, don't give up hope. There is one. And here, God doesn't fail. Isaiah tells us, verse 16, he saw there was no man moved by the fact that there was no one to mediate, no one to intercede. No one is qualified. Not one. So he said, I'll do it. And John hears the voice telling him, do not cry. Don't give up. There is one. And he goes on to describe him as a lion of a man. And a lamb who is an unusual lamb. Seven horns. You have lots of lambs here. A good lamb would have a good pair of horns to fight with. But this one is lambness in its perfection. And he has eyes to see everything from, he knows everything. In fact, those eyes are described as the seven spirits of God. God himself. God, 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 as God can be God. A lamb God. A lion man.
Wonderful, huh?
Well, that's we see in Isaiah. This is Emmanuel. God comes to be with us. The virgin gives birth to him. The one not coming, receiving his soul through Adam, fallen Adam like us, but receiving his soul just like Adam received his soul, his perfect, sinless soul, when the Holy Spirit breathed into the nostrils of the shape and he became a living soul. Well, the new Adam receives his soul in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. Machen, I don't have time to this, but Machen, one of the reasons he challenged the powers that be in the church was this carnal doctrine. You see, Jesus would not qualify to be our Savior if he weren't the perfect one. You see, look at verse 16 again. His own righteousness, you see, upheld him. He would not qualify, just like you see in Psalm 24, the one who would usher in a whole generation of Jacob. You know, Jacob, you and I, according to the Bible, I don't have time to get into this, but according to the Bible, we are the Israel of God. Jacob, there was one. He never desired anything wrong. He never thought anything wrong. He never said anything wrong. He never did anything wrong. Well, this one, verse 17, he put on righteousness as a blessed plate. See, he took the devil right on. He went to the devil. See, first Adam had the devil come to him, but Jesus went to the devil, all protected by his own righteousness. This is the one God says, there is no one. He said, I'll do it. He took on the job himself. It cannot be done. You see? And so zealously fighting our fight, conquering the world, defeating sin, the devil, and finally the last enemy of all. Firstborn from the dead. Brothers and sisters, he did all that is needed. Verse 18, according to their deeds he would repay. Wrath to his adversaries, repayment to his enemies. And what is the result? The result is what God had designed it all for. A lot of evangelicals do not understand that Genesis is the foundation of the whole thing. Abraham and Israel, I hope you don't take this as if it's coming from an Arab. It's Bible truth. Abraham and Israel were not an end. They were the means to an end. You go back to the very calling of Abraham so that the seed would come. And he would bless all families of the earth. So here we're told from east to west, they fear the name of the Lord. You see? South Africa, Central Africa, Central Asia, Western Asia, North, all over. Brothers and sisters, it's very important for us to understand the direction of the Bible as Jesus taught it. It's all about Jesus. So, they fear the name of the Lord from east to west. And verse 20 spells it out. The Redeemer. See? God himself is the Redeemer. in chapter 25, I think it's verse 9, he says, "Here is your God." This is Emmanuel. Again and again and again and again throughout Isaiah. Now the Muslims believe that their prophet is the last and the seal of prophets, and they're dead wrong. According to the Bible, the last and the seal of prophets, you know, prophets, Old Testament, apostles, New Testament, prophets who say he's coming, that's how we recognize him. That's what he's going to do. The last and the seal of prophets was John the Baptizer. There were no Baptists then, and there were no Presbyterians. And now when Jesus was coming and John saw him coming and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the Jews," right? I think you have very smart elders here that would take me to task if I leave it like this. See? "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the Arabs." No, the sin of the world, you see. Yes, that is what the gospel is about. Brothers and sisters, God had a plan. And that's what the last verse tells us. He had a plan. He had this covenant. We talk about, even in the Lord's Supper, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." The eternal covenant of the Lord Jesus to come and join our humanity to take our place. That's what Muslims need. That's what Russians need, Americans, black people, white people, yellow people, if they're blue, green, or yellow, whatever. From every tongue and tribe and kindred and nation. Isn't this how the Bible begins? And this is how the Bible ends. You see it in Revelation chapter 5. As this Lamb, the only one qualified, he comes, he takes the book. That's his title deed. He paid the price. And then those who are purchased by him, they have this song and say, "You deserve it. You deserve our worship, our praise, our loyalty, our commitment, because you paid for us. You made us. We are worthless. You made us those who... You opened heaven for us. We are priests. You have given us authority because you have authority over heaven and earth and everything." And he said, "You said, I am with you until the end." Brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, missions is not about maybe. Missions is about proclaiming the gospel. That's our duty. Our duty is to proclaim the gospel. But God will never fail. He has a plan. He has a design. And it is completed. Before his own eyes. And nobody will stop it. Don't fear. God has it in his hand. Hallelujah. Jesus is King. Jesus has all things under control. All things. The things we like, the things we do not like. You know Romans 8:28. Just go read the context of it. It's not about individuals. It's about all that love the Lord. It's in the context. There are cosmic. All creation. All things. The things that are small, the things that are significant. All things work out together. For us, for our brothers and sisters, and as Psalm 22 ends, for those who are yet to be born. Let's pray. The pastor, please.
Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for putting in our ears tonight the very sweet and good news that when there could be not found among us one who was qualified, you did it yourself. You came yourself. You were qualified yourself in righteousness. And we thank you, Lord God, for the zeal of your Son in performing this great salvation. Father, we pray that we would all continue to be unchained and loosed from the fear of believing that men rule the world. We pray, Lord God, that we would continue to keep our hearts and our heads and our faith in that beautiful throne room where the dominion belongs to the Lamb and he holds all things in his hand. May this give us confidence and courage. May we proceed with wisdom and soundness of speech. And may we indeed, Lord, go to the whole world. We pray that this would honor and glorify Jesus Christ. Amen.